This one's second.
Good morning, Rabbosai. Our limud of halacha today and every day is as discussed before for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Yishtavar Fosh Shalema B'sar Shal Chayla Yisrael. So if we start to understand the thinking behind Chazal's Gezeira, then we'll be able to start thinking about the Heterim as well. The shalis that we had till now was about inviting somebody who invited a Jewish lady for a meal, for Yom Tov, and she wants to bring with her Filipino carer, and they want to bring with their pet dog as well. Then there is the second shalis we had, was about a trainee ger tzedek, somebody who's learning to become a ger or a giyores, but they're not yet Jewish. Can they attend? Can you invite them for a yontem meal? And what about the seder specifically? And another shayla that I saw yesterday was brought down was where somebody, a traditional Israeli family, and they've got a son who has a non-Jewish girlfriend. She's got a non-Jewish girlfriend. He wants to come to the seder, and he wants to bring the shiksa with in order to sit at the Seder. So they ask whether or not that's all right. Are you allowed to invite the non-Jewish girlfriend? Could be the other way around, or the daughter has a non-Jewish boyfriend. They could even be married, yeah? And they want to attend the Seder. So what could you do? So let's understand the halacha. The Torah says, Min ha-Torah, ha-acha she-yocha l'chol nefesh, hu levato yosu lochem, chazal darshan in gemora beyo, lochem v'loy la'akum, lochem v'loy l'klovim. The heta of oichol nefesh, of cooking, grinding, kneading, baking, preparing any food on Yontov, which we're allowed to do on Yontov and not allowed to do on Shabbos, that is only for a yid. Therefore, you can't cook a dish for a goy. That's number one. Can you be marabeh? Can you add another piece of chicken for the goy while you're cooking, or put another loaf of bread in the or matzah, yeah, in the oven for the goy? The answer is also not, because you're preparing specially for the goy. That's as far as the halacha. That's as far as the derais is concerned. But Chazal were worried. Chazal said, if you invite a non-Jew to attend a meal in your house on Yom Tov, you want them to be impressed and you want them to be comfortable. Why are you inviting this yid, this non-Jew? You're inviting them usually because you want to be friendly with them, because you've got some business relationship with them, because it's your landlord, or because you're trying to impress him, or because you're frightened of him. Yeah, you're being nice to him because you're scared of him. Whatever it is, you might want to impress this non-Jew, and therefore, Chazal were worried that you might start cooking for him special dishes which you're not eating. This guy is not used to eating galaretta. He's not used to eating chulant. Yeah, these foods might not suit him, right? So maybe on Yom Tov, sorry?
You have to learn how to eat these things.
Yeah, I know, but on the other hand, you want to be nice to the guy. So what you're going to do is you're going to say to him like this, that, you know, you can have some chulant, you can have some galaretta if you want, you can have some chopped liver, yeah, but in case you're not happy with that, I have prepared for you some sausages and baked beans. Yeah, or whatever it is, something that would suit him better. You're not going to produce treif, but you're going to produce an alternative hot meal which might suit him. Chazal were worried about that. Chazal said that if you invite the goy, then you might end up cooking something specially for him. Therefore, Chazal said, and this is a Gemara, which says that Chazal introduced a halacha which says you may not invite a goy to a meal on Yom Tov. Full stop. Doesn't matter, even a cold meal. Even if you're not going to do any cooking for yourself, a cold meal, you're going to serve a potato salad and sliced ofschnitt or something like that, yeah? Afal pi ken, Chazal said, we're worried about what you might do, and not everybody will be serving a cold meal, and therefore you might be vegetarian and you're cooking for him something else, whatever it is, or he might be vegetarian, so you're cooking specially for him. Chazal said, yeah, and this is the this is a halacha paskund to Gemara in Be'yodaf Chof Aleph, and a halacha Simon Tov Kuf Yud Beis in Hilchas Yom Tov in Arachaim, Shaloi Levashel Tzorech Kutim Yom Tov. The title of the Simon is not to cook for a goy in Yom Tov, but the Gemara says, the Mechaber says, Ein Mevashlin L'Tzorech Kutim B'Yom Tov, we cannot cook for a goy on Yom Tov, L'Fikoch. Therefore, also lehazminoi. We're worried that you should. We're worried that you can't even invite him. Chazal made a takona. We're playing safe. It's a gezeira. It's drabonon. It's not the deraisa. The deraisa is the cooking and the grinding and the kneading and the baking for the goy. But the drabonon says don't even invite him because it's a gezeira shemo. You might prepare for him. You might add extra for him. Gezeira. The Gemara. The Mechaber says clearly shemo yarbe bishviloi. Right. But because of that. Because of that, once you understand the thinking behind the Gezeirah of Chazal, then you can start looking a little bit, you can see already the chinks of light as to where the Heterium start to arrive. So for instance, somebody who you a goy who you don't invite, Avdoy, you've got no pair in the house, you've got a cleaner in the house, and she's expecting to be served with a meal, yeah? The au pair, so a resident, housekeeper, whatever it is, who expects to be served with meals, for them, Chazal didn't make any gezeira. You can invite them, right? You can't cook for them, that's true, but the gezeira of not inviting doesn't apply. Similarly, the poskim speak about, I saw in Reb Shlomo Freshwater's tshuva to Aaron Blau, yeah, that he writes there about the cleaner, yeah? About the carer. Yeah, he invited a lady for Yontif, and she accepted the invitation. And then, is the speaker here? Oh, he's here. Okay, so let's finish tomorrow, Blieda. But just briefly, what he says is that when she says, I'm coming, thank you very much for your invitation, but I need to bring my cleaner. Yeah? My carer. Yeah. Cleaner would be very welcome. She can help afterwards, yeah? I want to bring my carer, right? You didn't invite the carer. The Issa of Chazal, Midrabonon, was to invite, right? Because if you invite somebody, you're going to prepare for them specially. If you invite, you're going to try and please them. I'm not particularly going to try and please the carer. The carer comes with. She also sits with. So that's one of the stodim to be matir, to allow the carer to come to the meal, is because I didn't invite. The Issa of Chazal was to invite in order to try and please the goy. If it's a goy that you don't want to please, and will come up with other heterim as well, then it could be okay.
Started at the Thoroughway Northwest London, Tuesday, Gimel Nissen, 1st of April. Rabbi Roberto Hager, Shlita. Is Mechiras Chometz a trick? Part 1. This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Cancer, led by Tzimtzum Hanasum of Moshe Cantor. Nerio and Shurken Shetichia, a hospital place. Yesterday, he wrote in Shimdavas, Timothy from Shim Silo. Meschus Hashwem, my Chalim, my Melchosh, Achsul Botahim, the Shalom, be Meiro.
Good morning. Is Mechiras Chometz a trick? No.
Why?
It looks like a trick.
Can we go home now?
Yeah, it looks like a trick.
Let's go home now. You said no. Let's go home.
You can take over. Okay. Some people don't want to sell proper Chometz, but they'll sell a whiskey. You understand that? Somebody asked me to speak about, is there an Issa Bal Tashchis by burning chomers or pouring out the whiskey? If you have the solution to sell the whiskey to a goy, do that rather than pour it out. In order to understand why people don't sell proper chomers, do sell whiskey or similar menhogim, I'd like to discuss the various ways of Mechiras Chometz from Chazal until today, how it happened, how it came about. Without going into the various kenyonim, which have to do with Chodesh Mishpat, how you sell Chometz to a goy. In Siman Tuf Mem Ches Ner Chaim, where there's one sif about Mechiras Chometz to a goy, the Shara Tshuva, which always brings all the G'dolei Achroinim who talk about the Shulchan Aruch, I think it's the longest Shara Tshuva in all Dal L'Chelke Shulchan Aruch, where he talks about all the ins and outs and all the problems and kinyonim, how and when you sell to a goy. And probably most Sifrei Shara Tshuvas have tshuvas about the problems that came about when people sold their chometz to a goy. We know the remainder of chometz, anything remaining before Yom Tov, you have to the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Mishnah, everyone knows the Mishnah, the second Perek, the first Mishnah, Kol Shor Shom Utelechel, as long as you're allowed to eat the chometz, the Mishnah says, Ma'achel Abayim L'chai L'Oifis, you can feed your animals with the chometz, and you can sell the chumas to the goy. You have a large quantity of chumas you want to get rid of, go and sell it to the goy. That was a very straightforward mechira. You give chumas to the goy, he gives you money, finished, end of story. The Gemara doesn't discuss that. Nothing to discuss. Very simple sale. You give up your chumas, finished. We find sugyas in Psochem, which have to do with the Yid and a goy trading with chumas. That has to do with a mashkin. You lend money to a goy, you borrow money, and you give your chumas as a mashkin, or you have the goy's chumas as a mashkin in your house. That's where we have problems how to deal with that. But the Gemara doesn't discuss what we know is common, much more common, selling, because that was a very straightforward sale. You have any chumas remaining, you sell it to the goy. What happens today? You don't physically take the chumas and give it to the goy, and you don't get the full amount from the goy. That's changed from the Mishnah till what we do today. There was an in-between period, which the Beis Yosef brings. Not mentioned the Gemara, mentioned the Sefta, the back of the Gemara. The Sefta says in Psochem, a Yid and a goy traveling on a ship. And when you travel on a ship, you bring with your food. You want kosher meals, you want supplied. You brought your flour, your bread with you on your journey. You're traveling in Nissen, and Pesach is around the corner. You got chometz with you. What are you going to do with this chometz on the ship? If you dump into the ocean, you'll be hungry. So what you can do, says the Mishnah to Sefta, you give your chometz to the goy before Pesach. You can give him a matona, and you trust the goy that after Pesach he'll give it back to you. You physically hand it over the chometz to the goy, and you're sure that after the week of Pesach the chometz will be given back to you by the goy. No. So the Tosef says you give it to the goy. You're not allowed to give matona amnas lahachzir. You can't give it on condition he gives it back to you, even though in Kol HaTorah Kulo matona amnas lahachzir works, it's considered proper matona. But here it's called as if it's a pekud, and you have he has some responsibilities to give it back to you, and therefore you'd be over Balir Bali Mosu, because it is you have some kinyonim over this chometz. So Tosef says clearly you give her the chometz and you trust, you hope he's going to give it back to you. The Beis Yosef brings the Sefta, and he adds a few words from the Bahag, one of the Goyim. He says, "Uvilvad shelo yarim," but don't make a trick, don't play around. And Beis Yosef says, "I don't understand these words. You give the chometz to the goy, you know jolly well he's going to give it back to you. That's called a trick. What's the problem with it? It's perfectly mutter," says Beis Yosef. "No problem with that. Elamai, if we have this case of uvilvad shelo yarim, it means, as he's mentioned, it means ematonam nas lahachzir. When you give chumah to the goy before Pesach, don't trick and make a matonam nas lahachzir. That won't work. Otherwise, there's no problem in making this trick and circumventing the problem, giving to the chumah to the goy, and knowing that he's going to give it back to you after Pesach." That's what the Beis Yosef passes in Shulchan Aruch. The Torah, when he brings the halacha down, leaves out this ship story. He understood that when Chazal talked about the story when you go on a ship, it's because that's what Ma'aseh Shoreh Kachoy, or that was the way of life when the people had chometz. If you were home, you had a little bit of chometz, either you sold the property to the goy, or you just got rid of it. Chazal talked about ship because that was when problems could come about. But dibur chachom b'hoiva makes no difference whether you're on traveling or whether you're home and you want to do the same trick, give chometz to the goy and hope that after Pesach will get back to you. There's no difference, no real difference what the situation is. No, you don't give. You must make a condition to give it back. You give it him properly as a gift, and hoping
the transaction.
No, you're hoping he's going to give back to you. You know the goy, you trust him. He's going to give it back to you. He has nothing to do with your flour. He's not interested in having it. You can tell him that I hope you're going to give it back to me, but you can't make a condition.
But it's kind of there in the transaction.
You're allowed to do that. You got rid of the chometz, not in your possession. You gave it to the goy, as far as he wants. If he wants, and he walks away with the chometz, nothing you can do with it. Nothing you can do with him. Not only that. Let me just go one step further. That was what Chazal suggested. You have chometz, give it to the goy, give it over to him. You sell it to him, or give it to him, and hope for the best. knowing that he's going to give it back to you. That's considered a trick, but it's perfectly mutter, says Shulchan Aruch. No problem whatsoever. A few hundred years down the line, the Bach talks about where life became different situations. A lot of Jewish trade was with whiskies they used to rent from the local Puritz, the distilleries, whatever you call them. And it was now difficult to actually give over large quantities of whiskey to the Goy. You won't get it back. And not only that, even if you sell it to the Goy, usually when you sell a small quantity, the Goy will pay for it. Even if you hope you're going to buy it back from after Pesach, it's a small quantity. You talk about large quantities, the Goy doesn't have the money, can't afford this large amounts of money to pay for the whiskey. So we have a problem how you're going to get rid of your chumetz and hopefully get it back. That's when they started what we do today, not actually giving over the chumetz to the Goy, but we made different kinyonim choish mishpat, which are perfectly halucha de kinyonim, when the Goy has full ownership over the whiskey. This was done because of Shas Atcha. There's no real solution how to get rid of all your chumetz, large quantities, you're going to have a big hefset. So Chazal, the Poskim, allowed you to do proper kinyonim, sell your chumetz to the Goy, give him full right, full ownership over the whiskey, or the chumetz, and then you buy it back from him after Pesach. Not only do you sell it to him, but also he only gives a down payment. He doesn't give the full amount. He doesn't have the full amount. He gives you a down payment, and he has full ownership over the chumetz. And if he wants, he will go and now sell it further. Or if he does bring the money, it will be properly his. The Magrum does mention that you're not allowed to, when the Goy buys your chumetz, I sell my chumetz, my whiskey to the Goy. My neighbor likes my whiskey and is going to go to the Goy after Yom Tov, and he said, well, you know what? I'll buy off my neighbor's chumetz from you. I'll pay you the money and then you go and pay the Eid. We call today poaching, when people steal someone's goiter in a small way. But this would be a much worse issa of Geneva. And Moshe says you're not allowed to do that, and you can actually force the Yid who bought your chumetz from the Goy, you can force him to sell it back to you, and you don't have to pay him if he paid more than what it's worth, you don't have to pay him the difference. That's a Chosh Mishra Degedin. You're allowed, if you sold it, it's proper sale, and you're entitled to buy it back before any other Yid has the rights to buy it back. Obviously, if the Goy sells it, you can't take the Goy to Mishpat, you can't take the Goy to court because it's properly his. But Yid is not allowed to go now and outdo you and buy off your chumetz. At that stage, when it started to look more as if we're making tricks, that's when we started making documents, making a shtar for Mechiras Chumetz. Usually you sell metaltalim, you don't have to make a shtar. You sell an item, you go to the shop, you buy something, goods. A shtar is done for karka, you buy land, that's when you make a shtar. You buy metaltalim, you don't need the shtar. Why do you make shtoros when we sell metaltalim? For various reasons, either because it started looking bit dodgy, these mechiras when you sold large quantities of chumetz to a goy and he paid you very little money. So you put it, document it, it looks more serious. It doesn't look like the goy doesn't think it's a joke and you don't think it's a joke, it looks more serious. Or because it started actually renting out the rooms or selling the actual rooms. It wasn't only you sold the metaltalim, you sold the property where the chumetz was lying. So you have to document it. That's a karka, as nikdav shtar, you sell something to go, you sell it with a document. That's why they sold it with shtoros and not with just with kesef. And also because we call this a kinyan chayish mishkol situmta, an agreed, accepted practice of sale when you sell. Like, for example, everyone knows you sell diamonds, you say mazal brocha, that's considered proper sale. Even though there's no money given over, it's considered the final binding word. The same way, when you have a document and it's binding, it is serious and is a proper kinyan on its own, even though the goy doesn't have the full amount of money to pay for it. That's considered a kinyan on its own. That's why they started documenting mechiras chumetz when they sold it. At that time, every person who had chumetz sold his own chumetz to his neighbor goy, to the goy, his worker, or whatever you just mentioned before, all those people who called Bnei Chalei Chalboy, people sold, every person did his own sale of chumetz. every Haggadah of Pesach had the Nusach Shtar Mechiras Chometz, which people used to do on their own. That became very, very problematic. We'll discuss this soon. Just go one point, which Chasam Soifet brings down from the Baruch Tam. He was the Rav of Leipnik, where in his town, or his medina, there was a law when you sell to a goy, or even today, there's some stamp duty or tax you have to pay when you sell. And someone went to Masa to the Kaiser that people are selling, trading properties, selling chometz, and they're not paying tax. And the Kaiser said, no, don't worry, it's only a religious thing anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. So he became worried, if it's only a religious sale, maybe it's not a proper, Din da Mechusa, it's not, it doesn't work the sale. So who says it's a proper Mechira to the goy? So he was a bit worried about this Mechira. But he said, no, it's not true, because it's a proper sale. The fact that the Kaiser wants to waive his rights to take his tax, that's okay. But it's a proper sale, and if it would go through, if, for example, the goy would, after Pesach, bring the full amount and take the chumetz, he would have to pay this tax. The fact that you want to waive the tax doesn't disqualify or nullify or make the mechira not a mechira apidin de mechusa. He had no chasuv the shuvah. It is a proper mechira, it's a proper din de mechusa. And the Rechaim says, even if it's not a din de mechusa, I'm not worried. Apidin Torah, we sold our chumetz, even though the Kaiser doesn't accept this, it won't agree that this is a proper document. He's not worried about it. We have to do Kinyan the Torah when we sell our chometz. We're not over by the Rebbe Musa. Even though Pidin Mechuz doesn't work, the Master, in all our Shtura Mechira, we do write that this, we make many Kinyanim without going into it, which make this Shtar a proper binding legal document which stands on various Kinyanim made with the Goy. Anyway, back to what we discussed before. When this Mechira was done by many, many people, became very problematic. People forgot to sign the document. People sold it after Zman Mechiras Chometz, when once it's also Bano, you can't sell your Chometz anymore. The Maglom talks about people used to sell their keys. They didn't sell the actual warehouse where all the Chometz was lying. They just sold here. They go, buy my key of the warehouse. That's not considered selling Chometz. People made so many mistakes when it came to Yisra'a Noah, and that's what was discussed before the Shah, all the poskim have all sorts of different cases of shalas, of problems which came about. Believe it or not, a few years ago, a mashgiach, who is a mashgiach in a hotel for Pesach, I'm all the advisor, he told me how he sold his chometz to the goy. I gave him 20 quid, and I said, the chometz is yours. That's how he sold his chometz. So these Mechiras became very, very problematic, to put it mildly. So, about 200 years ago, the Shamusim, or the Rabbonim, started slowly taking over the process of Mechiras Chometz in order to avoid these many, many problems. About 200 years ago, there was a huge machloikis in a town in Romania called Yas, where there were two Rabbonim, and they started instituting this general Mechiras Chometz, a Mechira Klolis, where the Rav buys the Chometz from the whole town, and he sells it to the Goy, because he knows how to do proper Shtar, and proper Kinyan Choshen Mishpat, without making any mistakes. And there was a big, many Kuntresim and Sforum, all Dorodor were involved, how this Mechira works. At that time, the Rav bought the Chometz from the whole town, and some argued that's not right. Mishloimeh, if you have your chumetz, which is a hefset, you have your whiskies or all your chumetz you want to sell, so we're matter for you to sell these large amounts of chumetz because it's a hefset for you. What hefset is it for the Rav? Why does he have to get into this to buy chumetz from the whole town and then to sell it? There's no hefset for him. There's no heter b'shas al chak for him to do such a thing, which is one problem. Then he's making money on it. The Rav is actually getting money and trading with chometz. It looks bad. You have your own chometz. You want to get rid of it. You have no choice. So you sell it to the goy and he sells it back to you. But you're trading with chometz. It looks really tricky. But that's not really true, because all the Rav is doing is just helping making takunas for Klal Yisrael to help them avoid the problems, the pitfalls of selling chometz not properly. And he's making money. It's not worse than any other job he would do and work for you. He doesn't have to do it for nothing. So it was a whole tumble on this new idea, a new concept of a rov selling on behalf of, on buying everyone's chometz and selling to everyone else. And at that time, I said before, there was some rabbanim who didn't know all the halachos of Chodesh Mishnah also got it wrong. So it was very, till it sort of settled down and got to where it's now, where the rov doesn't actually buy the chometz from the whole town. He's only the shliach of the person who has this problem, who has large amounts of chometz, who wants to sell it. So it's not he's buying it from you, he's just acting as your agent, without going into all these protim of the hefsed, which allows you to sell chometz. It's only a shliach, anybody can be a shliach to sell chometz on behalf of the goy, and that's how it works today without any problems. One important point we have to discuss. A few hundred years ago, one of the big Gdolei Yisrael, the Tfuah Shoah, he put a sort of a span in the works of Mechiras Chometz. He had a problem because people weren't only selling actual Chometz. People at that time had animals. They had behemoths, which they had to feed with Chometz, either from the barley, which was left over from the whiskey distilleries. They had to feed the behemoths with the Chometz. So people started selling the behemoths to the goy. You can't feed the behemoth your chometz on Pesach. So they sold not only actually chometz, they started selling behemoths with their chometz in order for the goy to feed your animals on Pesach. Now, what he said was that...
My animal can't eat chometz on Pesach.
Your animals can't eat your chometz on Pesach. The goy's animals can eat chometz on Pesach.
Why can my animal eat goy's chometz?
Yes, but you can't feed them the goy's chometz. You can't buy the goy's chometz. The behemoth can do what he wants, but you're not allowed to feed your animal. Same way as Shabbos, the behemoth can't. You can't make your animal work. The behemoth wants to work on his own. He wants to eat grass, which is a melacha he's allowed to do on his own. But you can't. The problem is, well, he says as follows: that how mechir works is why it works. He says because behemoth, every person does bittel. You say kol chamir chamir erev Pesach. You mavatli your chometz belev. You do a proper bittel. You don't have anything to do with the chometz. You're mafker properly. So minatoyer the chometz not yours. Chazal said, nevertheless, get out. You won't do proper bittel. We're scared, so get rid of it properly. But minatoyer the chometz is not. Once you say the nusach called chamira, the chometz is not yours anymore. And therefore, since with the raya the chometz not yours, this trick of selling chometz, which looks like aroma, which we discussed before, that works for the rabbanon. He brings raya to Chazal. The tricks work for isuri the rabbanon, but not for isuri the raya. Once it comes to isuri the raya, where you're selling your animal to the goy, and you want him to have the chometz to feed your animal, that's not Issa Rabbona anymore. That's Issa Raisa, and Haruma won't work for that. That's what he said. That the Haruma only works for Issa Raisa, not for Issa Rabbona. That's what he suggested. Came out, all the Gedolei Yisrael argued with him, and they said that when you sell something to a goy, it's not part of your bittel. When you are mavat lechomet, it's not how much is in your rishos. If you want to sell it to the goy, it's nothing to the bittel. Bittel is one thing. Selling the chometz, not bittel. Forget. You're actually taking chometz and not mevatel it, and you are giving. You're selling to the goy. And therefore, what he says is wrong. It's not that the poskim allowed you to do achiras chometz only when it comes to sirah derabonim. They allowed you actually to sell proper sirah deraisa, even when you want chometz. Your animal should eat chometz. That works. The mechira we call this. Tricky, dodgy mechira is a proper mechira even when it comes to Sirat Raisa, not only with Sirat Rabbanu. Now, there's an interesting tshuva written by a big Gadol Bistrol who lived in Liverpool over 100 years ago. His name was Reb Shmuel Yaakov Rabinovich. He was a Litvish Gadol, a big Tam Tchochem, a big Yerushalayim. He was one of the Rabbonim who were the founders of the Mizrahi movement. Today we call it the World Zionist Organization. But he was Bem Zagud Bisrul, and he wrote a very fascinating tshuva, long tshuva, on this whole idea of Aroma. At that time was when the colonial bank, the Zionists, opened up what today is called Bank Le'umi. And he was very passionate about even King Torah Mitzvahs, even they weren't from. And he was the one who was responsible, or actually instituted the Heta Iske for the Bank Le'umi, where the Zionists weren't interested and said, "This is you're making tricks. The Torah you're playing with God. It came from. How can you make Heta Iske? This is a Rebbe. It's not right." And he wrote a very, very long tshuva to explain how this concept of Heta Iske works. It's a trick. It's haruma. Put it in short. He's a beautiful, fascinating tshuva. All harumas to do with the Torah. But he says as follows: There's a halachos in the Torah which cannot be changed by anyone at any time. Very, very straightforward. And it gives just a small example. A person steals a shiva pruta, he's busla edus. If a rich person, he doesn't pay his workers, he's filthy rich, he's not paying his workers properly, he could be a rusha and all other words, but he wouldn't be busla edus. If you go and steal out of this rich person's bank account to pay his workers, you're a tzaddik l'chayre, you are busla edus, and he's not. It's wrong. What you've done, it's wrong what he's done. The master, he's not posle, you're posle. The halachas you can't change. The halachas is very straightforward. The halachas is also a mutter. But when it comes to situations, and it continues, if you lend beribis 40%, it's a deraisa. 2%, the same as a beribis deraisa. But when this life situation changed, and the trade, the way trade worked, wasn't the same as it was bizman ha-Torah, bizman chazal, so the chachmei ador allow you to have loopholes in order to fit the situation. Every halacha has tzedek and yosha. Every mishpat has emes in it. So therefore, if a situation comes about where you have to, for either cause the situation changes or your life changes or there's a shas adchak, then the poskim will give you ways in order to keep the Torah, not chashon be over the Torah, and find a loophole in order to have the tzedek and the emes together with the mishpat. And therefore, if someone today will use a heta iska, and then on 40%, he's the same Rosh, and all the Kulus Chazal will apply to him. Because he's using this loophole as a trick. If, on the other hand, you're using this Heta Iska just to help a poor person or help someone else to lend them money, that's perfectly permissible. And the Poskim will allow you to make these loopholes in order to adjust our lifestyles and our situations in order not to be over the Mitzvah Torah. There's a famous Gemara says a few places in the Shas, Chassidim Rishonim, people, Bizman, Bizman Rishonim, like Doris Rishonim, Doris Achronim. Doris Rishonim used to bring in their fruit, their peiros, derech, the shah, in order to mechayev and trumas ma'as. The halacha is, if you bring your peiros round the back door, not the way in, from the field into your house, you're put to trumas ma'as. So Doris Achronim, not Doris Rishonim. Doris Rishonim used to do it properly, and Doris Achronim go from the back door to circumvent the mitzvah ma'as. Chazal ma'as, if you look carefully, don't say whether it's good or it's bad. It's not the shvach, not the gnai. Why? They left it open. It depends on your intentions. If your intention is, in order to circumvent giving to the coin, because this coin is not. Fidei kanam, leva chush v'kanam. Ein lechol koin shemecha, then it's not very what you're doing. If, on the other hand, it's you do it, shloi lovel le takula, then it's okay. So the different tricks you can do, it all depends, achak v'nus alev anadron, what your intention is. If your intention is to be, get out of the mitzvah, or to help you in situation in order not to be nichshel in worse affairs. So all these tricks, all these harumas, which are done in all aspects in the Torah, just to mention quickly, avelis lo aleinu, people sell their shutfas, or sell their shops, or sell their, what they trade, b'shas, where b'shas are oinen. It's again, it's a trick. You're not allowed to trade b'shas avelis. So it depends on the situation, why it's done. All these harumas, mechiras on Shabbos, there are hundreds of tshuvas and situations where people had to sell their shops on Shabbos or give their share to the goyim on Shabbos. It all depends on the situation. What do you want to do? Do you want to be over the mitzvah of Shabbos chas v'shalom? Then it's aveira. If you have a situation where you're forced and you have no choice but to give it to the goyim, then it's mutter. So every chucham will see its situation. He trusts you, you trust him. He'll assess the situation, what your intention is, why you're doing this harum, why you're doing this trick, and then you'll see if it's permissible or not. The same idea. How it started off, how it developed. The idea was just to save the situation. So you sold to the goy in order for people to have panosa. Once it becomes out of hand, just becomes a joke, then it's again, it's to circumvent the mitzvah, then it becomes lavera. So every haroma, every trick is, if it's done in order to protect the Torah and just to save your situation, then it's perfect mutter. If it's done chas v'shalom to be over the Torah, then it's dead wrong. So going back to Shaula, you asked, Josh. A person has a bottle of whiskey. Should he pour it down the drain, or should he sell it to the goy? It's bal tashkes. If you pour it down the drain, you can make money, or at least have the bottle of whiskey after Pesach. And what's the problem with it? So betachas apashtus, push it. There's no isa bal tashkes when you pour your whiskey down the drain. The Torah says, "Be mashus your chumas." Very, very clear. The Torah tashbiso. You get rid of your chumas before Pesach. There's no isa bal tashkes. Chazal don't tell us before Pesach, feed your animals, force feed them with all your chometz, or get some benefit, or sell it to the goy and go around selling it. There's no such thing. You get rid of the chometz properly, no problem. You won't, you can sell it. But there's no issa chas shulam or batasha when you pour your chometz down the drain. Just one example. The Gemara says, Akarei al ha-meis, you rip your clothes, normally you rip your garment, you're over batashkas. Someone who does it, letzorech avelis, there's no batashkas. But you do it yoyis medai, it's batashkas. Chazal, there's no Indian where people go to Shalayim or Kamigdish, they give their garments over to somebody else, they sell it. It's a trick. It's done because that's the only jacket you have, or you have a lot of big hefsid, you don't want to do it. It's okay. But no one will suggest for an oval to do that trick, and he shouldn't be left with any begodim to because it's bal tashkas. When Chazal said make an ashkosa, Torah says make an ashkosa, it's perfect. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to burn, get rid of your chometz. But now going to this question we started off, why do people not sell chometz gomer? It's because they don't want to rely on this haruma when there's no hefsid. If you have no hefsid, and it's easy to get rid of your chometz, get rid of it. This situation of selling chometz was done because you have no choice, as we discussed. It's a situation where you're stuck and you don't want to lose a lot of money. So we'll allow you, behet gomer, it's perfectly muta pialucha to sell your chometz, sell any chometz you want, and it's a proper mechira. But it was, why was it made this way? Because it's a shas atak, either you're on a ship or because you have a lot of chometz.
Yeah, to put it in historical context, people may not be realised, in the late 18th century in Poland, 50% and in some places 80% of the liquor trade was in the hands of Jews.
Right.
Either they bought the licences to distill from them, or they were made the publicans,
right,
because they couldn't trust the goyish publicans not to drink it.
Right.
So all the paranossa was in liquor trade.
In chometz, right. So that's why it came to where it is today.
Yeah.
So some people don't want to rely on this heter. They want to do it properly, just get rid of chometz properly. Mm-hmm. They don't rely on heter. Unless it's shas atchak. Now, what does shas atchak mean? Now, we find in the Ramon many places, Shulchan Aruch talks about hefsid merubah. It means as follows. You have a machloikis apostle, something's mutter also. The hefsid merubah, you're matter. Why are you matter some hefsid merubah? You can't bend the laws. You can't change the law when it's hefsid merubah. You can't change the law. But it means as follows. The Ramon Teres Chatzin Agumah says, when it's a pidin mutter, but there are apostles, we are choishes to be machmer, when it comes to hefsid merubah, we'll keep it to the dry halucha. It's mutter. We'll go back. We won't be machmer. Now, that's the concept of hefsid merubah is we won't be machmer when it's a difficult situation. Now, what is hefsid merubah? Now, without going to hefsid merubah, it's a shiur on its own, but I just saw a beautiful explanation of hefsid merubah in our. Hefsid merubah means onu lifi, onu usha fi ashra. It all depends on your situation. To explain, Achiezer, Chaim Moses says, hefsid merubah means when you repeat to someone what happened. You'll tell your wife, I'll tell your chavrus, you'll tell someone, this bottle of whiskey I got rid of. Hefsid merubah doesn't mean a lot of money. It means something which bothers you, which you'll discuss, you'll tell someone about. Someone has a big, expensive bottle of whiskey and it breaks, he'll tell someone about it. Even though he's rich and he can afford it, he can buy another one, it hurts him. That's called hefsid. So some people won't sell chometz gomer, but they will sell whiskey. Why? Because that's considered hefsid. A small amount of whiskey, I don't talk about. If it's a big bottle of whiskey or a few bottles of whiskey, I will talk about it, I'll tell it. Some people won't sell proper chometz, but they will sell whiskey. Even though chashum to say whiskey is not proper chometz. Some early poskim want to suggest whiskey is only zeh ba'alma, it's only distilled, it's not actually chometz, but we don't accept that. Whiskey is chometz gomer. The heter not to sell chometz gomer, but sell whiskey is because it's a hefsid, something bothers me, so I will rely on that. Most people won't want to pour it, not because of batashkas, because that's considered hefsid, and they will rely on the halucha of the proper heter to sell chometz because it's a hefsid. Just one more point. Okay.